Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
A special report on the relations between Lutherans and Muslims in My Muslim Neighbor. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I am Jamie Krieger, and I am the Associate Pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, a southeastern suburb of the Greater London. At Christ Church, we hold services every Sunday morning at 10:30. Pastor John Ehlers and I are also co-vacancy pastors of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Harlow, Essex, where the services take place on Sundays at 11 a.m. For Bible study times, as well as other activities and missions sponsored by these congregations, go to lutheran.co.uk and find us under directory. I am also Lutheran Radio UK's manager and would like to hear your opinions on our entire range of programs. So send me an email on manager@lutheranradio.co.uk. Welcome to this program. Today we're looking for an answer to a question that is at the core of what is to be a Christian and that springs from Jesus' greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. But do we know how to speak with our Muslim neighbors? How much do we know about where they are coming from in order to understand what they are getting at, let alone love our Muslim neighbor? To try and get at least some aspects of this question answered, we have invited Dr. Brent Smith. The Reverend Dr. Brent Smith is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Regional Director for Eurasia, and he is here to talk to us about the work he does, and specifically about his work with Muslim communities throughout these countries. Dr. Smith, could you begin by telling our listeners what you do and what area it covers?
Well, sometimes I think about the title that I have, Regional Director. And Eurasia for us means Europe, the northern part of the Middle East, out to Central Asia, into, for example, Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan, clear out to the Tian Shan Mountains, Russia, Russian-speaking countries, former Soviet Union. And it makes me glad that it's actually God who's in control of these regions and not me. But yeah, I work as a regional director for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That means I support some of our workers that are primarily from the United States that are working in these countries and interact with partner churches like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in England.
And most of what these workers do is Christian mission, that is, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ in areas that are predominantly Islamic. What is it like?
Actually, mission, missionary, it's a sensitive term. Of course, it can be understood positively. It's a sent one, someone like an ambassador that takes a message on behalf of others and shares it. It's a positive term, but not everybody, unfortunately, hears that term positively. It sounds to some mission or missionary sounds very aggressive, almost, and you think back in Christian history where there's been crusades or maybe similar if someone said, hello, I'm a jihadist. Or a mercenary or something like that, it's not positively received. So when I hear the term missionary, I think more of a term where someone is looking at a culture, listening.
Well, perhaps before we go there, could you give us a Christian definition of what mission is?
In the broadest basic term, a missionary is a sent one. The first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, immigrant from Germany, C.F.W. Walther, said that actually every Christian from their baptism is a missionary. Why did he say that? Because it's God's Word who makes us alive in faith, who gives us a gift of salvation. And then not only that, it's not just for us, but we are sent forth from the baptismal font to share appropriately with all people the good news of Jesus Christ.
We spoke of an Islamic majority in those countries you work, but there are also other religions depending on where you are.
In Eurasia, you really have, wow, the historic centers of Christianity going from Jerusalem and Antioch into the place of Paul's missionary journeys in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, all the way up into Western Europe, Central Europe, and into Russia. where they've had 1,000 years of Christianity since 988 AD. And so there's a lot of history, a Christian history. Just backing up to that, the statement about mission and missionaries, there's a Islamic scholar as well who says that really all Muslims are missionaries. So in a sense, if Muslims are listening, for example, to this program, it shouldn't come to a surprise. Both Muslims and Christians are called by their religion to go and share appropriately the message that they bring, both with non-force, non-violence, but in an appropriate way as fellow human beings created by God.
What is the first impression when one of your workers or missionaries speaks of Jesus in those lands?
Usually, the worker, we don't have any missionaries in the sense, the negative sense, in the Muslim-majority world. But most usually, a Christian who is there is a listener, hearing maybe even statements like this by Al-Faruqi, for example. In his 1991 work, he said, "Islam is a missionary religion, requiring its adherents to offer and teach a divine message to all humans, to invite them all to join the faith, the Islamic faith. And though it may start anywhere, the community, the state of Islam are to expand so as to cover humanity and the whole creation. This expanse, however, may not be achieved by force or by violence." And so when you land in countries like Turkey, that's a secular country, the law is gives freedom of faith and expression, you're going to hear very committed, faithful, God-fearing Muslims start to tell you about the commissions that they have from the God that they believe in.
And they will say that with a strong conviction.
A firm conviction. Many of them, it's fascinating because having served a number of years and have deep respect for Orthodox Christians, for Christians that are in the Russian-speaking world, they've been in a place where there's also been teaching of atheism, just anti-God propaganda for centuries. And so a Christian may be surprised how willing and how open Muslims in Muslim-majority countries are ready to, in both their private conversations and public, talk about their faith in God and the questions that they have, what their answers they're seeking, and the truth that they are seeking. And so I've actually found in Muslim-majority countries that the conversation about personal faith, about ultimate sources, a source of authority, comes naturally and quite quickly, actually, more so than in some secularized countries.
Speaking of Russia, then, very briefly, given its recent history under regimes that banned worship, what is the perception these days when Christianity is again able to reach out to the people after so many years?
Well, I can speak from two perspectives. One is from knowing deacons and priests in the Russian Orthodox Church and being very impressed by their knowledge of the scriptures. And let's not forget that both Western Christianity, Lutherans, and the Orthodox confess the same creed, the Apostles' Creed, and have core teachings which are so similar. And what I think by living 8 years in the former Soviet Union, what I've witnessed is the Russian Orthodox Church rebuilding its infrastructure, training its priests and its leaders, and continuing to be a strong presence, a Christian presence in that society, and trying to bring God's word to the people. Like most countries, it's very ethnically diverse as well. Lutherans have been, in fact, this year, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ingria in Russia, based out of St. Petersburg, is celebrating its 400th anniversary of being in, well, what today is the Russian Federation. And so there's been a lot of proclamation and baptisms and especially these last 20-plus years, bold, calls to return to the historic faith that has existed for over 1,000 years in that Eastern Christian world.
And much of this broad territory isn't made of Christians who are now allowed to gather in churches, but of pagans. What is it like to speak about Jesus to them?
Christians, I think, I should never forget, none of us should forget, that we are all born dead in sin, you know, without a spiritual life because of the fall into sin. And so Ephesians chapter 2 reminds us of that. And yet our God is a missionary God. In fact, I just recall from 1 Timothy chapter 2, this awesome verse that still stands true today for all Christians in England and throughout the world. It says, 1 Timothy chapter 2, that this is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. And so when you're going into areas of central Siberia or other places, you're encountering people that may have heard God's word partially. Maybe they've had some sort of a teaching that's been a little different. But what you do is you get a chance to start a conversation. And, you know, in the end, it's God's work. It's the Spirit's work through His word. And He will make people alive in faith and bring them to the truth.
I imagine that's a verse you often refer to when people say that all religions speak of the same God, but in different ways. How do you respond to such a comment?
Well, I think clearly we have to point people to what's their source. Why do they believe that? Is it something they saw in a sitcom, on TV? Is it something that their holy book, that their sacred text is teaching them? I think that's a key piece, is that why do they think that? And Christians to go back to the Old Testament and the New Testament and see, well, is that what that is teaching? Is that what the Quran teaches? And I think when people really search out that source of belief, they'll find that, well, there's a lot of things in common, for example, even between Muslims and Christians, that ultimately the sources are teaching that there is that it's not all ways to heaven are the same. But for example, with the scriptures, John 14:6, it says there's, you know, Jesus says He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now He's a revered, respected prophet in Islam, and so if this is what Jesus says, I think that should cause Muslims also to look and to think what that means, and what that means to them individually.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. We'll take a break now, but when we come back, I would like to talk to you about the uniqueness of the Christian message of a mediator between God and us, which you read earlier from 1 Timothy, while there isn't an equivalent in the Islam, and what implications that brings. We will come back in just a minute with Dr. Brent Smith in My Muslim Neighbor here on Lutheran Radio UK.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the spread the word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
If you would like to know more about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, then visit our website, www.lutheran.co.uk. On our comprehensive website, you can learn more about us, what we believe, and where we are, with direct links to all our congregations in England, Wales, and Scotland. We offer a schedule of all the activities that we're engaged with, and which you can attend to get to know more about our Lord Jesus Christ. Should you be interested, you can also find out more about Lutheran theology and Westfield House, the Theological College of the ELCE. If you would like to support our work, you can use our secured link. Visit www.lutheran.co.uk. ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
Welcome back. You are listening to My Muslim Neighbor here on Lutheran Radio UK, and we are talking to Dr. Brent Smith. Dr. Smith is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Regional Director for Eurasia, and he is speaking to us about his work with Muslims. Dr. Smith, going back to the text you read before our break from 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, the Christian message is of a mediator between God and us, namely the Son of God, the man Jesus Christ, while there isn't such a notion in the Islam. Could you speak comparatively of the core differences between Christian and Islamic theology?
Concisely, that is a challenge. There's a lot of resources that I would point Christians to look. First off, well, Martin Luther, the great reformer, actually encouraged that the Quran would be translated and published and distributed so that people would read it and to see what it says. Well, for the overachievers that are that want to learn classical Arabic, I would encourage it because when you start to read it, that is helpful. There's a lot of secondary resources. In fact, I brought one with me today. There's one by Daniel Wickwire that is 100 questions about the Bible and the Quran, and it's actually something that we could look at today. It has some questions and answers. It says, according to the Bible, according to the Quran, and according to my view. So maybe the listener should think, wow, what is my conviction on this topic? But maybe if we have time, I'll just read a couple. For example, is it accepted that Christ was born of the Virgin? According to this author, his answer says, well, according to the Bible, he would say yes. According to the Quran, yes. What's your view? Is it accepted that Christ was sinless? In the Bible teaches, yes, of course he was. According to the Quran, yes, he was. Is it accepted that Christ possessed supernatural wisdom and knowledge? In the Bible and the Quran, both, yes, that he did. And so there's many authors that go down point by point, hundreds of questions, and often they will point you to the chapters and verses in the Quran that does call Jesus the Word of God. It calls Jesus the Messiah, as I just mentioned, that Jesus was sinless, that he was born of a virgin, that he's a spirit from Allah, from God. And these are all statements that I think we need to be aware of as Christians. It opens the opportunity to converse with Muslims and to talk about what the Quran says, what the Bible says. Well, for example, in the Quran, there's about 28 prophets, I believe, that are mentioned. 22 of those prophets that are listed in the Quran are also prophets that by name are in the Old and New Testament. Sometimes it seems the Quran is written as if the reader should already know the beginning of the story, the biography, if you will, of these prophets. And so that gives the opportunity for a Muslim who's reading about prophets listed in the Quran to go back into the Old Testament, the New Testament, and read the broader story about the life and the acts of the apostles and the prophets.
So it's easier to speak about Jesus to a Muslim than it is to a Hindu, for instance, or any other who would believe in not one but a plethora of gods.
I was in a conversation, a friend from Saudi Arabia, and we were at a conference setting with some people who are in the pharmaceutical industry, in other business, and they were talking about how there's creation, and they were talking about what the end of the world will be like. And I soon found that this Saudi Arabian Muslim friend and I, on many topics, we're discussing and trying to talk to our secularized friends because Muslims believe that God created the heavens and the earth. They believe that people are sinful. They believe that there will be a judgment day, a day when God judges each person for what they have done. They believe in the supernatural of spiritual powers and principalities. So again, I challenge the hearer to explore those common themes as a means to start up a conversation. In Turkey, some recent research, we interviewed the head imam of the Sultanahmet Mosque, one of the larger, it's often referred to by tourists as the Blue Mosque in Istanbul. We were hosted there by the head imam during Ramadan, during their Friday prayers. And when he took us into his office, there behind him sat a bookshelf, and there was a Bible on it. And we ask, oh, why do you have a Bible here? And he says, well, I need to have a lot of guests and visitors and need to know what it says. When we were in Marmara University at their divinity faculty, one of the larger divinity faculties where over 400 people are studying to get a master's in Islamic studies, most, if not all, of those master's and PhD students receive a Bible to study, to look at, to even critique, if you will.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. That sounds very exciting. What are the joys and the challenges of this work of speaking about Jesus to the Muslims?
Yeah, one of the challenges is there's a lot of water under the bridge. As we say, there's a lot of history. And so if one's approach is a historical approach, in other words, to start talking, for example, if you're a Christian, to start talking to a Muslim about all of the history and the interpretation of that history, then that makes it very challenging. There's been a lot of wars that have been fought. There's a lot of surprises allies and allegiances. Even when the Ottoman Empire was expanding, for example, a lot of Christians don't know that as the Ottomans were coming up the Danube to try to take Vienna, for example, the first time, 1529, that there was also some allegiances with European countries as they were doing that. They're not aware that the Ottoman Empire also conquered Baghdad and Cairo and some of these other Middle Eastern countries as well. So it's good to know the history, but it is a challenge because oftentimes in conversation the Crusades will be brought up and questions if today there are modern-day Crusades. That's a challenge. Another challenge is there's been a lot of stuff written by academics in a very polemical way. Martin Luther, when he first started his first statements about the Turks, for example, said, let the Turks be Turks. In fact, he was calling at that time the Pope, the Catholic Church, to task to not go in a crusade against the Muslim world at that time. Unfortunately, there's a lot of polemical written materials, and sometimes the media and other modern-day means of communication make it very easy to create hostilities, to miscommunicate. That's one of the largest challenges, is something can happen in another country and that can affect the work on the ground where Christians and Muslims are getting along and talking. One of the exciting things is when people actually take the approach of treating others as humans and recognizing we have common needs, common challenges, and to directly address and to respect the people as created human beings, or their life is sustained by God, and all in need of a Savior, and to really dedicate themselves to dialogue and diplomacy, even when talking about difficult issues. Of course, the second article of the Apostles' Creed that talks about the Christian belief of Jesus. There's a difference, right, that Muslims would not believe that Jesus is God, you know, the Word incarnate. But I think we can talk about that in a civil way so that we at least understand the truth. Many Muslims that I've talked to believe that the Trinity is, God, Mary, and the Holy Spirit. And when they hear references to Jesus as the Son of God, they've been taught or have heard or somehow have thought that actually God had sex with a woman. And so to this would not be something a holy God would do. And, of course, Christians have a different understanding of what sonship really means as it goes to the person of Jesus Christ.
To what would you attribute the fact that it is so difficult for them to understand that God is one of a kind in three persons and yet one God? Is it perhaps the result of a strong philosophical view of God, or what do you say is the issue there?
Well, part of it is how they're reading the Quran, the interpretation of the Quran. There are some people, some scholars, who are rereading and looking at the verses of the Quran to see if it really does deny an understanding that we have as having one God in three persons. Many Muslims are very surprised to learn that Christians believe in one God. So, like I said, it's an ongoing conversation. We have to look at the texts. But just like in Christianity, where at least after the Reformation, it broke into many, many different denominations and groups, which means there's many voices about what the Bible means and how it should be interpreted. So too, in Islam, there's a wide spectrum. If sometimes you just pull up and look at online resources such as YouTube or others, you start to see, for example, as a husband, does the Quran teach that a husband can use corporal punishment, you know, to with his wife? And if you look at that online, you see Muslim clerics and a number of them giving some different takes on how to interpret those Quranic verses.
Are there any Islamic groups that would deny the authority of the Quran and say, as many Western scholars do about the Bible, that the Quran is open to question?
I think if you look at Turkey, for example, that a lot of their universities, divinity faculties are looking. They have critical editions of the Quran. They're looking at interpretations. They're looking at also the hadith and statements in there. And so definitely they are looking at their own heritage, at the original sources, and that's a good thing.
Those are some of the challenges you encounter in your work. Can you now tell us about some of the joys you have?
Well, of course, the joy is knowing that it's God's work and watching God's work play out in the lives of people. More and more Christians who have maybe a wonderful leather Bible that looks great. It's maybe from their confirmation or from their early years. It's been sitting on the shelf for possibly decades, and they're pulling it off, they're reading it, and they're taking seriously God's call to on their lives to be involved in His mission to share God's Word, because it's the Word that changes people's hearts and minds. And so one of the great joys of being a regional director is watching God raise up faithful Christians that are going into these countries and appropriately sharing their faith with others. That's a great joy. The other is seeing many questions from Muslims that shows that they are very interested in what Christians really believe and very interested in learning. There's a high fear factor. One of the researchers in Western Europe felt that among Christians, the biggest thing that's keeping them from talking with Muslims is fear. And he's trying, of course, to reduce that fear by creating opportunities for Muslims and Christians to talk. And so I think another joy we've had in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have 10 universities. And a number of those have brought student groups, most recently in January, to Muslim-majority countries for them to have an immersion experience, an experience where they talk to Muslims and hear firsthand, not through secondary or other media sources, but firsthand, what are the concerns, what are the beliefs of Muslims. That's been a real joy and some aha experiences, both for Christians who are learning and for Muslims who maybe are talking for the first time to Christians from other countries.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. Our time is up, but we will resume our conversation next week when we want to hear from you, among other things, about how much history, politics, and tradition influence our conversations with our Muslim neighbors. come back at this same time next week on Lutheran Radio UK for the second half of My Muslim Neighbor with the Reverend Dr. Brent Smith, who is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Regional Director for Eurasia. I would like to hear your comments and suggestions and also any questions you might have about the issues we approached in this program and on Lutheran Radio UK's entire range of shows. Send an email to me, Pastor Jamie Krieger, to manager@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcasts of this series are available on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. Lutheran Radio UK is the radio station of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. For information about our congregations, go to lutheran.co.uk and click on directory. I hope and pray that you would be encouraged by our broadcast to learn more about the Lutheran exposition of the Holy Scriptures. I would like to invite you to visit the nearest Lutheran congregation to you and partake with your family in our worship services, Bible studies, and Sunday schools. Check our program online and stay tuned for our next shows. God's blessings to you and goodbye for now.